So this morning we're doing something a little bit different, than normal. Sometimes I'm not very good about talking about the things that God is doing on the other side of the world and all around the place. We get focused in on just our little corner of the world a lot, and yet God is doing incredible things everywhere, all the time. And so this morning we get a chance to hear about some of that and talk about some of that. We've invited Jay Fisher to join us. You can come on up, Jay. He and his wife Kate have been involved in missions in Haiti, and I'm not going to steal all your everything you do. I'll let you talk about that. But we invited him to come share with us a little bit about their mission in Haiti, the work that they've done and are currently doing. And then I'm going to talk after him, but just for like 10 or 15 minutes, okay? I don't want you to get scared when I walk back up here that you got to sit there for 40 more minutes. But I do have a little bit to say and close up today. But please welcome Jay this morning.
Good morning, everybody. My name is, like Pastor Shane said, my name is Jay Fisher. I'm with YWAM Port of Peace. And I have my notes here. I promised myself that I would stick to my notes this time because I went off on a few tangents during first service and rather stick to them. It's better that way for everybody. So like I said, with YWAM Port of Peace, my wife and I, who just walked outside, we were in Haiti for 8 years in total. And we founded the mission that I'm here to talk about today. And let me start off by saying we're so thankful for Pastor Shane inviting us for this chance to come speak. And currently, we are serving on the board of directors of the mission that we founded. Here's my wife, and my kids are walking in too. Everyone's looking at you guys now. This is my family. All my kids, that's Isaac, Evie, and Liam, they grew up pretty much their whole lives in Haiti. Like I said, we were there for 8 years. So I'll talk about them in a little bit too. But we now serve on the board of directors here. We moved back to the States partly because of those little buggers. But now I went off on my notes and now I'm off on a tangent again. Sorry. We serve on the board of directors with Bo as well and his wife, Jackie. So we got to talk about you and you weren't here first service in the room. So we're super thankful for the support that Bo and Jackie give and the leadership that they're and advice that they're able to give us and our staff that are on the ground in Haiti. So, and then speaking of Haiti, I'm sure you guys have heard plenty of news over the years that of various things. So give you a quick recap. In 2021, the president of Haiti was assassinated, and since then, there was kind of caused a big power vacuum, and everybody wanted a little piece of that pie, everybody who could, and they took control however they could, whenever they could. And so we're at the point now where I think the last I heard was about 75% of the capital of Haiti was under control by gangs. So there's not really free movement as much unless you know the gang or can get away with, you know, nobody's bothering you today. And that causes quite a bit of challenges because a lot of goods and services for the whole country exist through and out of the capital. That's the biggest port, the largest, busiest port of the whole country is the capital. So a lot of goods, when they come into Port-au-Prince, they're not able to freely kind of move to where they need to throughout the country. You have to wait for sometimes a good day, when people are sleeping or taking, I don't know what constitutes a good day sometimes, why that happens, but just a day that you can get trucks in and out and you're able to, they're able to send those goods to the rest of the country. And, other days, most days are just bad days. You can't move in and out. You can't go down the road. You can't take your trucks without a risk of being hijacked or stolen or something. So a lot of times, you go without goods and services, except for things that you can get locally. And the mission that we founded was in the northern part of Haiti. So we're about as far away from the capital as you can get, which is nice that we don't have to deal with those gangs. But not so nice is that we're on the end of the line for all those goods and services coming out of the Capitol. So sometimes we had to resort, we still do sometimes resort to like a black market for even gasoline. You know, somebody's got a 55-gallon drum in their backyard. They're selling a couple gallons here and there to people. So it's a challenge, but not everything is bad. Not everything is hindering the work of the Lord in Haiti. And he's able to, despite all of that, continue to change lives and really show hope in him through all of that. And I'll have a video from our director on the ground. His name is Louis. I want to share with you. He's going to talk a little bit about it. And yeah, and then I'll come back up right after that.
Hello, everyone. My name is Luis Velo, the in-country director with Wyoming Port Office. And I am so excited for this opportunity to be able to share a little bit about us to you guys today. And welcome to Haiti, my country. Here at Wyoming Port Office, our vision is Be That Make, where we learn from God and as well from the Bible and the season, you know, and as well other type of skills like such as teaching English or teaching music, how to sing or teaching an instrument, all of those kind of things. And as well, if you are passionate about the Bible, and it's more than welcome. And so here we take those skills and we go and make disciples with them. So how do we do that? Well, we run different types of small groups, such as English class, where the young ladies and young men comes together, where we learn, where we're learning English as well, hearing and learning about God's words. And I love it, and it's always fun to see all those young people come in our house and feel like home, and feel like they are a part of a big thing. They are a part of such as an important thing, which is God's family. And as well, we have worship and music class, where we learn how to worship God better, and as well how to make music in a better way that, you know, other people will hear and feel the presence of the Lord, and they will decide it themselves, like, you know, to give their lives to God. And as well, we have videography class, where the young people here, not only they're getting a skills where they can provide for their family, but as well they get the opportunity to hear and learn about God and ask any type of question that they could have about God or the Bible. And as well, we have other small groups as well, where I'll let Jay finish and share more about what we do. Thank you.
So like I said, that was Louis. His name is actually Rosevelo Louis. Louis is his last name, but as for as long as we've ever known him, we only call him Louis. Or Kate, you said sometimes you call him Louis. I call him Louis too sometimes. So it's just, I would consider him probably one of my most dearest friends. And I'm sad that we're not there with them day to day, every day now. But we're just so thankful for the work that he's continuing to do down there. And there's few things that he said that I wanted to kind of highlight today. And the first was that the mission of the mission, the purpose of the mission is those three words, be, that, make. And they're kind of three words that aren't connected so well together. There's missing some pieces in the middle of that. And we like to explain it as be. What does be mean? Is that not everyone is a hand or a foot. Not everybody has the same giftings. Not everyone has learned the same things from the Lord at the same time. So B is the things that God has taught me, the personality that God has given me, the things that that I am because of who God made me to be. And that is B. We're all made in the image of God, but we all have a unique gift. As I said, not everyone's a hand, not everyone's a foot. We all have that unique passion, that unique gifting. Even if it doesn't seem like it's a special gift, you know, oh, I'm not a great pastor, or I'm not the best orator, or things like that. There's still something that God has been gifted us with. And that's how we explain that be part of the vision. What is What has God given you? What is God teaching you? Who has God made you to be? For example, Louis, who is up there, he highlighted a few small groups that he's been doing about worship and music classes and videography, because these are all things that Louis is very passionate about. These are things that God made Louis to be. You don't want me up here singing a song or trying to play guitar for you. That would be horrible. My wife is laughing because when we're in church and we're worshiping, I am off key every time. I don't know. Don't have the ear for it. God did not make me have the ear for music to be able to pick up on the right pitch. And my wife, Kate, as I said, she is a dancer. She has the ability to, you know, move her body in a way that, again, you don't want me up here dancing. I have not even two left feet. I have one foot only, and that's all I can do is about hop. Though I do have a shirt that says Dance Dad. I taught them everything they know. So it is true. I taught my children how to dance. My wife is doing air quotes. So each of us has that unique gifting. We each have that unique mission field that God has put in our lives. And so that's that B portion of our vision. The second part, the second word is that. And that is just a connecting word. That is not a word with deep significance other than it connects two things. It connects the be and the make. Be that make. It's an important word because we're not called to be hermits. We're not called to be, hey, I'm going to go, now that I found Jesus, I'm going to go live up in the mountains and not talk to another soul for the rest of my life. That's not what God has called us to do. There's a be that. We have to do something with that being. And the thing that we're called to do, that we feel like we're called to do with YWAM Port of Peace is make. We're called to be disciples that make disciples. That thing, that passion, that gifting that God has given us, that ability that God has given us, we can actually do something about it. We can replicate that. We can work with those around us, those that we will be around us, we will know, to replicate that gifting, that calling in other people. And make, what does make really mean? It means that, like God said, like Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, to go and make disciples. I actually have that up here. Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And make really comes from that wording, all that I have commanded you. Because I don't have, you know, a doctorate degree in theology. I don't have all the answers. I haven't studied every little book of the Bible in such detail that if someone were to ask me something, I could say, oh yeah, here's the definitive answer for all of that. But God has commanded me things. There are things that I have learned. I don't have all the answers, but there are a few things that I know. And the older I get, the more I know that what I don't know. But that's beside the point. There are those things that God has given me. There's that talent that he's given me, like we said with the bee. And he's commanded me to go and make disciples, teaching people those things. I don't have all the answers, but the answers I do have, I'm going to share that. And that's that three part of that vision, be, that, make. And there were some kind of common things I kind of hear all the time as we were on the mission field for 8 years, even since we've been back, kind of some problems or challenges that come with living that vision, be, that, make. The first one is people think you're crazy. Because when we first moved to Haiti, Isaac, who's right there next to my wife, he's waving. He's going to be 11 this year. But he was only 4 months old when we moved to Haiti. And I see there are some small children in the room too. There's some babies. So 4 months old, people thought we were crazy. Like, why would you move to a third world country? Why would you move to Haiti with a 4 month old? And not only that, you know, I had what was potentially a very promising career in engineering and everything. Like, why would you give that up? Why would you move your family to this country that's not safe for them and all this stuff. You're crazy. And that's going to happen. When you live on mission, when you live that, be that, make, people are going to think you're crazy because you're not doing the normal thing. The second thing that kind of comes up with that is it's hard to live on mission because over the years, we usually kind of lose our sense of direction. You know, when you're young, you're in high school or middle school, what's the next thing? Okay, I gotta graduate. Just gotta get through this semester, get through this class, graduate. Okay, I'm gonna go to college. I gotta finish this semester. I'm gonna graduate. And then you get your first job, and then you're like, well, what do I do with my life now? I guess the next thing is retirement, but that's, you know, 40, 50 years away, you know, or more sometimes. And so our sense of direction kind of fizzles out. It becomes less definite. We end up living for the next event. You know, hey, 4th of July is coming up, or I got a birthday coming up, or an anniversary, or things like that, or just the weekend. I just, you know, wake up one morning and, oh my goodness, it's already Friday. You know, I didn't get as much done as I wanted to get done this week. And we lose that sense of direction. And the last thing that kind of comes out sometimes, the problem, is that we get busy. And this is something that took me a long time to understand. When we lived in Haiti, we were always trying to get with people, connect with people about the mission, have people come down, have people volunteer, whatever it was, and everyone was always busy. Or they would be interested, but then nothing would happen because they're busy. And I would get so frustrated, and I never understood it until now that my wife and my family and I, we've moved back to the States. I get it. I understand. Like I said, some days I'm like, okay, I got to get to work. I get home from work, and then, okay, I got to take kids to dance on this day. And then, okay, then Isaac has soccer that day. Okay, and then we have a soccer game going. Okay, I have to remember to get snack for that soccer. You get busy, and I get it. And I didn't understand it before, but I understand it now. But it takes us sometimes, we have to remember, we're on mission. And when you're on mission, when you're being that make, you have to schedule it, and you have to be intentional about scheduling it, because if you wait for a good opportunity, it's never going to come. We're always going to be, oh, this is a perfect opportunity. Wow, I'm just so tired. You know, I should just relax this day because I don't have time for that. We have to be able to schedule that mission in. And that mission for you might not be living 8 years in Haiti. Might not be taking a four-month-old on the mission field. But there are things, there are things, giftings that God has given you. And how are you scheduling that time in to be intentional about making disciples with that? It doesn't have to be pastoring. Maybe that is, but it doesn't have to be pastoring. I am not a pastor, but there is things that you can do to make disciples. And that is what all we're about in Haiti. We have been using small groups, actually, as a way to be that make, a way to make disciples, because people get busy, even in Haiti, people get busy, but that still gives you the chance, okay, hey, for the next 8 weeks, once a week, we're going to meet to do this one specific thing. We're going to meet to learn this one thing. And that's something that a lot of times people find more digestible. They can take in and use. So I'm not saying that's something you have to do. I don't know how you guys do small groups sometimes, like I said in the first service, but you know, maybe that is a thing for you, an easy way to do it. Hey, I can't commit to, you know, the next 10 years of my life doing something, but for the next 8 weeks, once a week, invite people over to my house. We're going to talk about worship. We're going to talk about music. And some of those things, like Louis, worship is a great topic for people that are already in the church. But he uses his giftings for worship in a music small group as more of an evangelistic tool. These are people that are going to be coming in that don't necessarily go to church. They don't know Jesus, but they're interested in learning about music. And so he's taking that opportunity to talk to them infuse the gospel in that while they're learning about something more practical to their lives. So a couple of prayer points for you guys, if you guys could be praying for us. Louis there is actually, we've been working for, gosh, more than a year trying to get him a visa to come to the States, because it would be great for him to be actually be able to come up as well and share in person about everything that he's doing and the rest of the staff. We have another staff member and a couple who are expecting their first child any day now. Next month? Well, yeah, it's close. Oh, beginning of August, sorry. I'm just so excited for them. It's just the dates, you know. They're also trying to get a visa. He's American, she's Haitian, but we're having troubles with visas right now in and out of Haiti. It's not an easy deal. So if you guys can be praying for visas, praying for funding, as I said, things in and out of Haiti, out of the capital, are difficult. So sometimes it makes things a little bit more expensive. As you know, even here, everything's more expensive. So we've been working towards that, and just that we would, as a mission, would be continuing to share the gospel of Jesus with everyone we meet. That we would never get tired of running the race, because you know the work is plentiful and the workers are few. We have 4 staff right now, and it's hard to get new staff with a country that is the way that it is. It's hard. It's harder and harder to get new staff. So just be praying for that. And I just thank you guys for the opportunity to come and share with you all.
So Jay gave you really a picture of basically what it means to be on mission and what it looks like. What the definition is, he did a great job with that, and said, here's what it looks like. Here's how we're doing that. So I wanted to close today with basically giving you the motivation to do that. That's my goal here in these last few minutes. Some of you are going to laugh at this. There's 4 things I want to tell you. And so you're like, oh, that's 45 minutes from Pastor Shane. No, I made up slides, and I'm just throwing them at you really fast. So you got to be ready for them, okay? But what I want to do is, you know, sometimes we hear from a missionary, we hear from a pastor, and you think, man, God uses, you know, these incredible people to do his work, and that's their job, you know, and they go and do that. But I'm just an average person, I'm just a regular guy, so I just go to work and go to church, and that's my relationship with God. But the truth is, we are all called to serve. We're all called to ministry. Every single one of us. And so what I want to do is I just want to give you 4 quick motivations, hopefully, things that will spur you on to really put this into practice in your own life. Because really, there is a huge hole in your relationship with God unless you're serving him in some way. It's a vital part of your relationship. It's not optional. It's a vital part of your relationship with God. You have to be serving him. So let me give you the first one of these. The first is that service is the example that Christ set for us. Service is the example that Christ has set. In Mark 10:45, it says, "For even the Son of Man," that's the Messiah, that's God in the flesh, "even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." How many of you have heard or say that to be a Christian means I want to look like Jesus, right? I want to look like Christ. What was his mission? It was to serve. It was to serve. That's why he came. So that's your first motivation. If you want to be like Jesus, Jesus came to serve. The second thing I want to share with you is that service is our expected response to God's goodness. It's the expected response. It's the way that we should respond to what God has done for us. Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercies, when you look at what God has done for you, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true worship." Now, when we think about worship, what do we think about? You show up on Sunday at church and you sing songs. That's worship, right? That's the way we even refer to it. It's worship time. But what is true worship? In view of what God has done for you, you respond by giving all of yourself over to him. In Hebrews chapter 9, it gives us a little clearer definition of this. Starting in verse 11, it's talking about the old way before Christ came. It's talking about the old system of sacrifice and of being forgiven and being in right relationship with God. And it talks about what Christ has done then, and then it talks about our response. Here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 9, beginning in verse 11. It says, "But Christ has appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, in the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with human hands, that is, not of this creation. He entered the most holy place once for all, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of young cows, sprinkling those who are defiled, sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse our consciences from dead works?" And then here's the kicker. "So that," what? "We can serve." Christ did all that. Why? So we could serve God. So we could serve God. So service is the expected response. A failure to serve is an indication that maybe you don't quite understand all that he's done for you. Because that's our natural response. When you understand what you have been rescued from and all that Christ has done to make you right with God, there should be in your heart a desire to serve him in some way, in some fashion. In fact, as you get to know him better, as you learn more and more about yourself and what you've really been rescued from, about the great sacrifice he has made, that desire grows more and more that I want to do more for you, Lord. I want to serve you more. The third thing is that service is the purpose of our freedom. Service is the purpose of our freedom. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you were called to be free, brothers and sisters, only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love." Christ has freed us from the grip of sin. He's freed us from our fear of condemnation and separation from him for eternity. He's freed us to live an abundant life, but we were never meant to use that freedom for ourselves. It was never a gift so that you could just serve yourself. It's a gift given to you. You are done with sin. You're done with condemnation. You're free for all eternity. Now, go serve your brothers and sisters. Now go love them and care for them. It's the purpose of our freedom. It's why we're set free, so that we can serve. So that we can serve. And the last one. Are you proud of me? That's 4 points. Last one. Is service is the reason for our gifting. Jay referred to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it talks about us being the body of Christ. And in there it says, not everybody's a hand, not everybody's a foot. The idea is that we don't all have the same gifts, but it's all of our different gifts that come together and make the body of Christ. That's how we accomplish his work. Well, in 1 Peter 4, it says, just as each one has received a gift, each one, how many? All of you. It says, each one has received a gift. Use it how? To serve. To serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God. Now, this is where we get hung up a lot. And I'm glad that Jay mentioned this as well. So many of you out there are going to say, well, I don't have a gift to serve God. I don't have a gift to use. I've heard the band. I've listened to Pastor Shay. I've heard missionaries that go on the mission field. I don't have that gift. I don't have a gift to serve God. Here's what I want you to understand. Whatever you do have is a gift. Whatever you do have is a gift from God. Now, I've got some brothers that I know if they had legs, they would mow the lawn for us. But they can't. You know what they do? They use their other gifts for his kingdom. Now think about that for a second. You ever thought about the fact that you can walk around as a gift from God? And that gift is something you should be using for him. So whatever you do have is a gift. And God has gifted us all in some way for the purpose of what? Serving. For the purpose of serving. Now, I'm going to give you a pretty serious statement here today. You are not truly living out the Christian life unless you're serving in some capacity. You're not truly living out the Christian life unless you're serving in some capacity. Think about this for a second. Here's our big three, right? I used to joke when I was a youth pastor that the youth would answer every question with, read your Bible, pray, and go to church. That's the answer. It doesn't matter what the question is. But think about the big three for a second, right? You can read your Bible every single day. You can show up at church every single Sunday. And you can pray all the time and still constantly be taking and never giving. Right? You can do all that and still be taking and never giving. Never serving. God is calling you to serve. And if you're not serving, there is a hole in your relationship with Him. There is something vital that's missing. God is calling you to serve. Maybe that means go across the world with your four-month-old. That's quite possible. I'm not ruling that out for you today, because that might be what God is calling you to do. Maybe God's calling you to mow the lawn, write your name on the list. Maybe God's calling you to make a meal for somebody who's in need, or go visit a church member who might be at the hospital or homebound right now. Maybe God's calling you to help with our church plant in Sharaw. They've got a lot of great stuff going on, and they can use some help. We all went down there last weekend and had a great time and saw God do awesome things. Maybe God's calling you to lead a Bible study, or maybe a small group at your home. Maybe God's calling you to financially support something here at the church, or the church plant at Lake Avenue, or the church plant in Sharaw that we're working with right now. Maybe He's calling you to volunteer for a work day. Maybe God is calling you to pastor a church. You ever think about that? I can tell you, I never thought about it till the day God called me to do it. That's for sure. Or maybe He's calling you to stay after and help set up for VBS today. But the truth is, He has a place for you to serve. And I encourage you to be open to whatever that is. Haiti or work day. Pastor or lawnmower. Be open to whatever that is that God is calling you to do, because He's asking you to serve. And I want you to be praying about that intentionally in the weeks, the months to come. Say, Lord, let me first see my gifts. What is it that You have given me? And then secondly, where do I put it to work? Where do I use it? Lord, what are my gifts and where do I put them to use? Because you need to trust me when I say there's a whole new level of relationship with God that you have not experienced yet. Even if you are serving Him, there's more places to serve that you haven't found yet. There's a whole new level of blessing that you haven't experienced yet unless you're truly serving Him and His kingdom. Until you learn to serve Him, His mission, and His church. Amen? Stand up with me and we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You so much this morning for bringing Jay and Kate to us. Lord, thank You for an awesome brother and sister who have set a great example of service and sacrifice. Thank You for the way that You have worked through them and You're continuing to work through them. Thank You for Louis and the people on the ground right there in Haiti who are really putting this all into practice to reach their people, to train and disciple their brothers and sisters. Lord, thank You for the example that we saw today. Lord, I ask that You continue to bless their ministry. Lord, I know they face a lot of difficulties. He shared visas and gasoline today. I mean, just the things we don't even think about that they're facing on a regular basis. Father, provide for them. Overcome those deep obstacles, because I know to us sometimes those things seem insurmountable, but to You, nothing is beyond Your grasp. And so, Father, I ask that You work in an awesome way in that country through their ministry to bring men and women to know who Jesus is, to give their life over to Him, to be rescued for all eternity, and then begin to make disciples themselves. So, Lord, just do that work. Overcome any obstacles there and work in an awesome way through that ministry. Heavenly Father, I ask that You be with each and every one of us, that we would truly be open to how You want us to serve. And I mean open, that we would look and say, God, You have blessed me in some way. You have given me things, whether it's my health or my education, whether it's my intelligence or my personality, whether it's the home that I live in. Lord, You have blessed me. You have gifted me. Now show me how to use that for Your kingdom. Heavenly Father, I believe if each and every one of us would do that, we would see revival in our land like we've never seen before. So, Father, do that work in us. Do that work through us. Let us truly be the church. Thank you, Father, for my brothers and sisters here. I have seen sacrifice and service in some of the lives here that blows me away, that encourages me and keeps me going from day to day to know that I'm not working alone. Father, thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for the family. Thank you that we never do this alone. You never designed us to. That we get to work alongside others who love you and love us to accomplish what it is that you desire for us to accomplish, to grow your kingdom. What a privilege that you've used us to do eternal work. That blows my mind every time I think about it, but you have used us to do eternal work. Let us continue on that mission. Continue to fight that fight. Father, fill us with your Spirit and work through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you.